So Father, this morning, as your word gets preached, I'm asking that you would just come and do what you need to do in this place. Lord, I'm a simple man. I just want to be faithful with what I felt that you gave me, and I pray that it could be another brick that will be built into that which you want to do in this local congregation in Somerset West. And I'm praying what is done, Lord, will bring a momentum, and Lord, that the gates of hell will be plundered in this area and people will be won for your purposes, Lord. So I'm just asking right now, Holy Spirit, will you come and just empower this message? Open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds. Lord, bring Scripture alive for us this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. So I send you greetings from Dimble AM. Kevin, one of our elders there, is preaching, and Russell is out ministering elsewhere. So it's just an absolute privilege to be back here, and it's just a privilege to be able to go out and minister the Word of God. It's just wonderful to be part of the bigger picture that God has. And I want to say to you as a congregation, this isn't it. There's a much bigger part of the body that is functioning. There are guys functioning in and around the Cape, around the country, and various parts of the world. So you're part of something way bigger than yourself. And I want to encourage folk here this morning to live with that mindset that God has got much more for you guys. All right. So this morning, we're going to get straight into Scripture. So we're going to go into Romans 12. Oh, that's on this side. So I'm just going to ask. Just want to make sure that my time here. Great. So we're going to open up at Romans 12, verses 1 to 8. And it says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy." That mercy that he's speaking about there is just the fact is that we are so messed up and depraved as people. He's speaking of in view of God's mercy. He reminds us that he sent his son Jesus to come and save us from our sins. And this is the kindness of God reaching out into our lives, because God is merciful, because we're depraved, we're messed up, and actually only in Jesus can we be made right with him. He says, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Say holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. Say sober judgment. That was very low. There's like sober judgment. Say sober judgment. There we go. In accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it to the proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. So this morning, I've been sort of pondering on a word for you as a church and what I felt God was wanting to do. So I'm going to ask if we can leave that scripture up. If you don't mind, maybe go back to the first verse and we'll sort of see how we go from there. But what I felt was that God wanted me to bring us back to a place. He said, you can preach from this word, and I think there's some practical stuff we're going to work through this morning. But I felt the Lord say, I want you to show Jesus in this text. And it's amazing, because the words that we were singing prior to this is actually, we are here because of Jesus. That's it. Full stop. That's the common ground. If we do not have Jesus, we have lost everything. And so the encouragement here that Paul writes to the Roman church, and he's writing to a church, I feel like for us is let's get back and keep the main thing, and let's see Jesus in this text. And so I want to highlight, and I'm going to ask you to pardon me. I haven't listed all the scriptures, but what I am bringing is from scripture, and I've got the stuff here so you can verify it. So I'm going to speak it. So when we speak scripture, it's as good as us reading it out, if that makes sense to you. So I'm bringing what is in Scripture, and I want us to have a look at Jesus. We need to remind ourselves Jesus is busy building his church, not you and I. We are co-laboring with him, but ultimately he is building his church. I felt like the Lord also said to me, I want us as a people not to be crushed by the rock. I want you to fall on the rock, because ultimately that's what we're building on. And that means that we keep Jesus central in everything that we do. So let's see Jesus in this text. First, we remind ourselves that Jesus offered himself as a living sacrifice. We remind ourselves in Matthew 26, those of you making notes, you can go and read there, whereas in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus finally surrendered himself to be used for the final purpose that God had called him to, and that he would become a living sacrifice, that you and I would not have to be hung on a cross and pay the penalty that is actually due us. He took upon himself, and he took the sins of the world upon himself. The full wrath of God was poured out over him, that you and I, through some of our challenges that we face, could never endure what he went through. So when we face our challenges, and for some of us they are real, I want you to multiply that by 10,000, multiply that by 1,000,000, and we can continue multiplying it, because everything was laid on Jesus at the cross. He was willing to offer himself up for you and I. Secondly, is that he did it, and this, the Bible says, was a spiritual act of worship. All right? And we remind ourselves, and I want to just, if you don't mind, I'm going to page, for those of you making notes, this act of worship was to glorify God. And so Jesus, in the book of John chapter 17, which is very powerful, Jesus says the following when he starts praying. He says, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. A little further on, he says, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And so this is what pleased God. Not only did he make himself a living sacrifice, giving himself up, but Jesus was obedient to the call that God had on his life. There's parts of Scripture that says, God says, I don't desire sacrifice. He says, I desire obedience. I'm hoping you can see some of this in this. It's important when you're reading this. Then it goes on. Jesus did not conform to the ways of the world. And we're going to look at this for us practically later on. It says he did not conform to the ways of the world. He only did what his Father told him to do. And he gave up all forms of worldliness to pursue the matters of God. If you think about the story, and so I'm using Scripture in Matthew 4, where Jesus gets led by the Holy Spirit into the desert, and he's there fasting for 40 days. And then what happens is Satan comes to tempt him. And what does he do? Remember, he's led there by the Holy Spirit. He's waiting on God. He uses the word to refute the temptations of the devil, who tried to lure him into the things of the world. And Jesus stuck to his call, and he stuck to the main thing, and he kept it the main thing, and was not sucked into the things of the world. Today, you and I, we are unfortunately indoctrinated, and we're sucked into the things of the world, which clashes with the things that God actually wants from us. And here we can see the perfect lesson of how Jesus handled some of the stuff that even you and I face today. He kept it straight down with what God's word said. And let me say to you that with God's help, he was able to overcome. Another thing that through this is that he didn't conform to the ways of the world. The Bible says in Luke 9:51, Jesus was resolute. In other words, he was focused. And again, I believe that's what we are called to be as saints. We need to be focused. There's too many distractions. And Jesus lived life, but was totally focused on the call that God had for him. Jesus wanted to please the Father. Goes on, it says, Lord, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, if you could take this cup from me, he says, please do so. He says, but not my will, but your will be done. And this is the heart of Jesus. We could see in the context of these scriptures that Jesus' heart was to fulfill the will that God had for him, not to do his own thing. Another thing that we'll see with Jesus, if we go on to the next lot of verses, says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to. What is another thing that Jesus did? He was humble. Jesus came humbly. He was God manifested in the form of man. He didn't push his agenda. He didn't force his deity. He came and he identified with you and I as man and walked amongst the people, dwelling with them and connecting with them and having tea and coffee and doing all the things that the people were doing of that time. But people would have encountered him and they would have encountered aspects of God's character and nature as they spent time with him. But he came humbly, not thinking of himself more than he should have, and he demonstrated that for us. Interesting is that when Jesus came, we see in John 13, it says he came to serve, not be served. Can you see Jesus in these texts? In the text, you'll see if we go, it says there, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. If we can go to verse 5. So in Christ, we are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Look to the person on your left and right and say, we belong to each other. Right, so what was Jesus doing here? Jesus demonstrated something for us when he walked. Firstly, he understood his dependence on God the Father. Can I say to us that if we understand where most of our problems come in, is that we need to first look, yeah, if this isn't right, it will impact this. And so Jesus demonstrated that. He demonstrated, firstly, his dependence, his total dependence on God the Father. But then he demonstrated his interdependence on those that were around him. Isn't it interesting that when you look at the life of Jesus, when he started his ministry, he walked with disciples, people that became followers of him, and he was teaching them and equipping them and releasing them and empowering them. Why? Because as a man, he could not do that by himself. We know at a later stage, Jesus ascended into heaven, but he poured out his Spirit so the Spirit of Christ would come and rest on Christ's followers. And as a result of that, we get empowered to do the work of God. And now we can be more effective that when we leave this place this morning, wherever your place of influence is, the Spirit of Christ can work in you and work through you. And God can bring change in our community, in our city, in this nation, and nations of the world. We need to see what Jesus has done here. He's lived this picture for you and I. He was not the man of the hour taking the glory. What he was doing is was empowering the saints to do the work because there's much more at stake. So he understood teamwork. And then with that, we need to see, as I mentioned, that we all need each other. And he demonstrated this throughout the Gospels. And we need to know that Jesus has given us authority. Because God gave him the authority. He has empowered us. He's given us the authority. We need to step into that. So now I want to look at a couple of things here. Because now we see as we move on, it speaks that each man has been given his gifts and each one has specific things that have been dealt with here. So I want to show you a couple of things that Jesus did. So let's look at the gift of prophecy. All right? Jesus prophesied about his death. So he demonstrated that. He said, this is what's going to happen to me. And he explained that to his disciples. He prophesied over Peter and said, you're going to deny me 3 times. He, in prophetic words, he spoke to the woman at the well. He gave her a word of knowledge. So Jesus demonstrated something that actually you and I are able to do. And we need to see this from this text. The second thing is, we spoke of faith. I mean, if you look at faith, look at what Jesus did. His first miracle was turning water into. The next thing that he did was he fed 5,000 plus people with 2 fish and 5 loaves. He looked up to heaven. Little boy came and gave him this. And he said, Father, thank you. That is faith, to trust God with what was given to him, and to believe God is the one who can amply supply. He's demonstrating something for you and I. You and I might not feed 5,000 plus people, but if we act with a little bit of faith, we could change somebody's life or their circumstances. Bible says he served. John 13. He came to serve, not be served. So, can I say to you, he humbled himself and became a servant, not operating with prominence, just operating and demonstrating how we need to serve one another. Bible says he taught and he imparted things that people could apply. Mark 1:27, the Bible says the people sat in his teachings and they were amazed at how he taught. This is a carpenter's son. Who's this? It's like this Engelsman up front here. He's from Durbanville. Can anything good come from Durbanville? Or should I say, if guys from Somerset West go somewhere else, can anything good come from Somerset West? But this, like, he's a plumber, or he's a real estate agent, or this guy, you know, has got a clerical job. But when God moves on that person, man, amazing things can happen. And Jesus spoke, and people were left in awe and in wonder. Have you ever sat in a meeting and something gets said, and you go, oh, I've never thought of it like that. That was the moment that the people were experiencing. Why? Because people were hungry, they were open to the preaching and the teaching of the word, and they responded accordingly. Can I say to you, it's only the Holy Spirit that brings illumination and revelation for you when the word of God is preached. Jesus preached with such sensitivity, taught with sensitivity, imparted so people could actually walk away and use what was given to them. Next thing is he encouraged the woman that was caught in adultery. How many of us, I'm guilty, will stand in condemnation of some of the sin that some of our people get up to here? And you go, leave here, help it immense, as a belief. Or is the heavens standing and looking going, what on earth has just happened here? We as people are very quick to condemn. But Jesus encouraged. He said to the guys that firstly wanted to condemn him, he said, okay, if any of you without sin, chuck the first rock. They contemplated this a little bit, and some of them realized that they were convicted. Actually, I'd be a hypocrite if I chucked that rock. They all disappeared. And then Jesus looked at her and he said, neither do I condemn you, he says, but go and sin no more. That's encouragement. For some of us, we need to hear that. Man, if you've messed up in your marriage, if you've messed up with your children, if you've messed up with your finances, if you've messed up with your business, can I say to you this morning, be encouraged. Repent. Make right. And go and sin no more. Thank you. Jesus contributed to the needs of others. I'm just having a little bit of fun with this one. The feeding of the 5,000, actually, if you read the study versions and you read the notes in that, the Bible says, and women and children. So actually, if you take an average family, like we saw up here today, there's about 3 or 4 people. We're talking 15 to 20,000 people that got ministered to by Jesus. Man, that is an act of generosity. How many of you have made a meal at home and suddenly somebody phones and says, oh, by the way, I'm bringing 3 other folk with me. And suddenly your world falls apart. I don't know about you. I have those moments. I say, do we have enough cool drink? Do we have enough of this? Do we have enough? Brother, no, Jesus, he looks up to heaven, prays, thank you, God. And boom, he was generous. Bible teaches us that they picked up 12 baskets afterwards, full. So he demonstrated that. And so these are just some of the things. The Bible says he led diligently, he taught, empowered, corrected, rebuked. He was authentic. And that's the kind of leadership that he demonstrated for us, and we can hold on to that. And lastly, he showed mercy. He showed mercy on the cross with a criminal hanging next to him. May I just venture out with this and just say, the criminal next to him looked at Jesus and just said, Lord, will you remember me? And Jesus looked at him and says, today you will be with me in paradise. Can I just maybe throw this in and put a grenade in for somebody here this morning? That guy who hung on the cross didn't get water baptized. Because there's a thing going around that's saying that if you are a true Christian, you must be water baptized. Now I'm going to enforce something here. If you have got the ability Right now, if you have not been water baptized, it's out of obedience that you respond to being water baptized, because Jesus demonstrated that for us, that he would humble himself and be baptized by John the Baptist. This guy hung on the cross. It was not possible for him. We need to correct that teaching, because I've had that situation where we've had a scenario where somebody said, but you are a Christian if you get water baptized. And I'll say to you, you are a Christian when you accept Jesus Christ and you have faith in Christ. All right? And it's out of faith in Christ, out of obedience, that we respond and we say, the next thing is, hey, Lord, I need to identify with you, because that's what the Bible teaches. You get water baptized. And then, by the way, the third part of your starter kit as a Christian is you get filled with the Holy Spirit. Did you know you get a starter kit for a Christian? Get saved, get water baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. All right. Most amazingly, he showed mercy to the guy on the cross next to him. But from the cross, Jesus extended mercy to all mankind. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the heart of Jesus. So where does that leave you and I? It's a good question, and I love Somerset West because you guys ask a lot of questions. So we're going to ramp this thing down now into how this impacts us. So what does God want for you and I to take from this text? It's firstly that we need to imitate Jesus by listening and following through on the apostolic teaching of Paul as it has been put out here. That's what is required. It's about application. We hear the word of God. Can I say to you, you can hear many sermons until the cows come home. But if you don't apply those things, it's just sitting there. Potential that is waiting to be used, it will just sit there. God is expecting you and I to actually apply what is being taught here. And I believe that God's got something for us here as a congregation. So let's look at it. He says, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. And this gets done in view of God's mercy. Can I say to you, you are here because of God's mercy. It's God's kindness that this local church is even in Somerset West. Why? Because people are broken. We are sitting here this morning. Maybe there are people that are contemplating suicide. Maybe marriages are going to be falling apart. Maybe people have lost loved ones. Maybe people are angry with God. People have been hurt by the church. The list goes on. Can I say to you, it is in view of God's mercy that the church has been placed here, that Christ is preached, so that people will turn from their ways and turn back like the prodigal son and come running to the Father. That because of what Jesus did. But can I say to you, sir, ma'am, and young person, the decision that you've got to take this morning is, am I prepared to offer myself up and to surrender myself to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords, the God of the universe? Am I prepared to offer myself up for his purposes? Firstly, to let him work in me and then through me. Can I say to us this morning, when you offer yourself as a living sacrifice, that if it doesn't cost you anything, it's not a sacrifice. God's desire is that you not just only offer yourself up as a living sacrifice, but you also walk in obedience. And it's interesting, when we talk about a living sacrifice, what does that mean? I feel for some of us here this morning, you're Christ followers, you've been walking for a period of time, but I sense that there are people that have taken a bit of a back step. A living sacrifice means somebody that has been filled by the Holy Spirit. You're not dead. They used to offer up dead animals to be sacrificed in fire as a pleasing aroma to the Lord. You are a living sacrifice that needs to die to self with the life of the Holy Spirit working in you and through you, because that's ultimately what will please the Lord. I want to encourage us this morning. There was a word brought to you this morning. God is not wanting us to have convenient Christianity. This isn't about comfort. This will cost you everything. What I mean by that is, you know, that if you think of some of the friends that you had that are lost and their lives are horribly messed up, for some of us, it is inconvenient maybe to have to give up an evening to go and reach out to people. But God is not interested in that. He wants us as the saints to step into what God has called us to and to be inconvenienced so that other people can be one for his purposes. With that, as we offer ourselves as living sacrifices, Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It's about Jesus first. This morning, there's a sense in my heart. God is saying, get back to your first love. Make this about Jesus. Let that be the springboard that God gives you, and the rest will work itself out. Do not conform anymore to the things of the world. Change your thinking. And I come back to Matthew 4. Just as Jesus demonstrated how he dealt with Satan, in the same way, God wants you and I to get back to his word and use his word to live out our lives. I feel like I need to put this out there. We have been bombarded by so much in the world about wealth and money and cars and homes. Can I say to you, God is not opposed to that. I can show you scripturally many wealthy guys. But let me tell you something. The Bible also teaches us it's those very things that will trip you up. It's those very things that will hold you back, hold you in captive, hold you back financially, that you cannot be effective for the kingdom of God. And I believe God is calling us to change our way of thinking and to say, God, help me with this by the power of your Holy Spirit so that I can live for your purposes. I hope this is making sense. We need to be moved by God's written word when you spend time reading it. And we need to be moved by God's spoken word. I'm a man. Let me tell you something. I've got frailties. I've got issues. I've been married to a beautiful woman for 26 years. The person who knows me the most and the closest will tell you that I have my moments of doubt, my moments of fear, my moments of insecurities. And some of you are sitting here and say, I can't do this. Thank you. Thank you, Sean. The point is this. We need to be moved by God's word, and the Holy Spirit will help us with that. And with that, be mindful and focused on God's call on your life, and may his will be done. You come as a humble servant. You can see where I'm going with this. You come as a humble servant. Felt like God wanted me to use this illustration this morning. I want to ask you, how big is your towel? 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 For some of us, I feel you this morning, and I really did put this together this morning. I really felt this was of the Lord. Some of us coming with one hand. Maybe I could just use, David, could I ask you, could you put that on for me, please? Yourself. There we go. Look at the people. The picture here is God wants all hands on deck. How big is your towel? What are you bringing? Because for some of us, we're coming with little tidbits. God, I'll give you so much. God says, no, no, no. I want all of you. Thank you. Thank you. You did so well. You're such a good prop. Next time I need a tree, I'm going to ask for you to do that. Is this making sense? All right. As we start to land this aircraft, how big is your towel? There was a lady that served us this morning. That was making coffee. Just wherever you are, you did a fantastic job. Thank you. That was a really mean cappuccino. But can I tell you something? Don't underestimate that God can use you in such a powerful way in serving others. A simple thing like making coffee for people when they walk through these doors can impact people's lives. Do you know that with a smile, it can change someone's world? Don't for 1 minute underestimate these people that come up here and serve with their gifts. You know, for some of us, we might have this gift of grandeur. We want to be on the passion team and so on. No, no, no. Can I say to you, that is a team that moves around the world. God has called you here for a purpose such as this now. The little bit that you offer him, let him anoint it so that he can be glorified and take all of us into space that we can love on God like he intended for us. And this team did so well this morning. It was wonderful. Well done to them. So with that, we need to understand that we need to be in team, and that firstly we get our relationship right with God, If you get that thing right, we will learn to work well with one another. And I think things that came out of this is that I felt God say, I don't want you to spend time on the giftings. I want you to spend time reminding folk to recognize the gifts that people have on their lives and to celebrate their gifts, to encourage them in their gifts, not to compare or to covet those gifts. Rejoice. We need to create a culture of celebrating some of the stuff that people are operating with. And recognize that we are one body and that God desires unity. I felt for you as a congregation that if we get this thing right, God, you first, this will flow right. We start to flow because of what Jesus is doing in us. I feel like there will be a momentum that will come. I'm not saying that there isn't. I felt like God just saying, I desire unity, and I feel like the people need to pull together. There needs to be a knitting together. And God's going to use your uniqueness for the furthering of His kingdom. And I want to ask you this question. Imagine a year from now, you look back. What is this going to look like in this facility? Operate in your gray zones. Two things that I want to highlight here for you. What I mean by this, if you have a particular gifting, operate in the gifts that God has called you to. Don't try and be something that you haven't been called to be. We see this with Saul and with David. David has to go and fight Goliath. Somebody brought a prophetic word earlier on around that. Thank you, because I knew God was confirming my message this morning. Thank you, Lord. But David had to go and fight Goliath. So Saul said, listen, youngster, with his little pluckies, and his little shorts, and his t-shirt on, and his ketty. Saul looked at him and he thought, you are going to get a hiding six, love you. So he tried to put his armor on David. And so what happened was David was uncomfortable, and he was wily, and this just didn't fit. And eventually he said to Saul, no, I want to take this stuff off. And David operated in who he was. And because he trusted God. And a little young man of about 13 years old with his kitty and a clippy shot him in the head and then used his own sword to cut off his head. I want to encourage you, sir, ma'am, young person, use what God has given you and be the original self that God intended you to be. The other one is, be faithful with the little. The wonderful lesson that I touched on earlier, where Jesus used two fish and five loaves to feed the multitudes. Can I say to you this morning, come with your little bit. Because if God anoints it, the demonstration in Scripture is that if God anoints it, you can do amazing things with what God has placed in you. You just need to make yourself available. I want to encourage you this morning. Use your gifts. Some of us are sitting here this morning. You need to know that God has given each one of you gifts. Some of them are patent. They're obvious gifts. We can see them. Some of them are latent. You don't know what your gifting is. Approach your leaders and say, what do you see in me? What do you recognize in me? What do you think God has got for me here? From the gifts that have. Can I say to you, the Bible says that God says your gifts are irrevocable. In other words, He doesn't take them away from you. You're just sitting on them, and actually you're sitting. We need to get that thing right. Bring what God has given you for the furthering of His kingdom here. And I want to encourage you, your gift is not here for you. It's for the furthering of His kingdom. Your gift is for others. So when we talk about prophecy, prophecy is to encourage others. How many of us have received a prophetic word? Raise your hands. Wonderful. Were you encouraged? All right. That person who exercised that gift was walking in obedience. You were blessed by their gift and their obedience. You were blessed by them taking a risk and a chance. I didn't know this lady here this morning. I don't know from a bar of soap. But I took a chance because I sensed this is what God is saying. What am I doing? I'm just demonstrating what the Bible teaches us. And I had a go. Can I say to you, we live in a culture that we're not allowed to make mistakes. None of you are going to get up deliberately and mess up people's lives. But if you do it in conjunction with your leaders and you do it correctly, you can be an incredible blessing to this church. And as we start to wind down, There's one gift that God will give you that will allow you to build yourself up. And that's the gift of tongues. You get the public tongues, but then there is a gift which we can have. And God will allow that so that we can build ourselves up spiritually. Why? Because Satan doesn't understand it. So why is all of this important? And I hope that I've achieved what I feel God is wanting to achieve you this morning. Why is it so important? It's a good question, Somerset West. Firstly, it shows us to be true disciples of Jesus Christ. We not only sacrifice, but we walk in obedience, because ultimately this is what pleases God. This is how God uses the church to spread the gospel. If we operate like this, we become Jesus' eyes, ears, hands, feet, and mouth. And we become a people of influence that wherever we find ourselves, the church is actually activated and in motion, and we can touch people's lives because Christ works in us and works through us. Not here on a Sunday morning. This is easy. But it's when we walk out of those doors, we say, God, what I've heard you today, I want you to use me this week. There are some of you that travel to Johannesburg and to Durban and Port Elizabeth. Can I say to you that if you're going this week, be expecting for God to use you on the plane and your area of influence here. That's amazing how God works like this. When we look at this, this gives our lives significance and purpose. Some of us here, we're just wandering around. Can I say to you, if you want to give yourself to something bigger than yourself, offer your life to Jesus. And lastly, this becomes worship that pleases God.